You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
And you can hear both of us, I think.
I hope so. Today we're going to be talking about the first serial of the 20th season of Doctor Who. The 20th season! 20 years this show has been on! And this episode is called Arc of Infinity, which consists of four episodes that aired from January 3rd, 1983 to January 12th, 1983, which is almost a year after the last serial aired. The last serial was in March of 82. It is January 83. That's a big gap.
Why?
No.
Oh, okay.
Does Doctor Who do that sometimes?
Okay. I thought maybe you had like a story or some trivia.
You know, it was probably reasons and money.
Sure.
Scheduling. Stuff like that.
Okay.
True facts!
But I also want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. So before we dive in to this brand new season of Doctor Who, I feel like a goddamn professional.
I mean, okay.
We have one pop filter somewhere. We need to find it. We haven't found it yet. We moved a year ago. But we do have new mics. We got new mics thanks to our Patreon patrons. We accrued enough money to buy some nice new blue Yeti podcasting
stuff
mics. Yeah, it's not just mics either. We got the little cool little bendy arms that attach to like a desk or a table, which we're going to need to come up with a more permanent solution or like a better setup because it's on two of our, that one's not even a table. That's a bar stool.
Well, it's a stool that I got out of the trash.
And that's
I took home with us. I am looking into getting like a big cable reel and putting it in the one room that we don't use into a studio for us. But this will work for now.
This is a table, but it's like a film reel thing that we got for our wedding.
Yeah, we have two little tables that we put in front of the couch.
We put my laptop on it and we put the mics on it. And we've been doing that for a while. Before we got these mics, we would just use these little tables as our sort of home computer setup layout. This is a very broke podcast.
Well, the kitchen table is just like the only table that we own that's big enough for us to put like two mics and a computer and have both of us sit at is in the kitchen, and the kitchen is echoey.
I imagine you guys just assumed we were in like a very fancy podcast studio, right?
Yeah, we were on our couch with one omnidirectional mic between the two of us, so this should be a little bit better, a little bit nicer on the ears.
I hope so. Let us know what you think of our new audio sound.
Your new audio experience. It could be worse because you can hear me better now.
I didn't understand asthma until right now. Like, I just want to get right up next to the mic. Because I can actually hear myself now.
Yeah, we've never been able to monitor our audio before because when you do it through Audacity,
yeah,
there's like a
super delay.
A slight delay, and I couldn't listen to it.
But this plugs right into the microphone, so I can hear my beautiful, beautiful voice. I like it so much.
You like to hear yourself whispering.
I can't hear you. I'm not monitoring your mic. Like, I think there is a way to do that, but when I do that, there is a little bit of a delay. So, you know what? Let's stop talking about microphones.
Yeah.
Is there anything else going on we need to talk about?
I do not think so. Literally nothing happens anymore. So
that's true.
Well,
that's fair.
Nothing happens anymore, but then also bad things are happening all the time. So
the trailer for Bill and Ted 3 dropped. That's pretty amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, Bill and Ted Face the Music. It's been, what, 92 was when the last movie came out? So
sure.
That's like 18 years ago, almost 20 years ago. It's about time we've got the sequel the world needs right now. And it looks really funny. And it's from the guy who directed Galaxy Quest. So it's going to be good.
I had to open my phone to get to the Doctor Who notes, and when I was done, you were still talking about Bill and Ted.
Oh, I can talk about Bill and Ted all night, baby.
That's not why we're here.
Okay. What are we here to do? We're here to talk about Doctor Who, Arc of Infinity, and it's better than Time Flight. I will say that right now. I'm going to go on record and say it's better than Time Flight.
First of all, it's set on Gallifrey.
Part of this serial is still set in an airport, though.
That's true.
There is a small scene in an airport. Let's just dive right into episode one, which I have called Tales from the Crypt.
Oh.
Because there's a crypt in this one. I want to go ahead and start off with, like, part of this serial is set in on Gallifrey, but another part of it is set in Amsterdam, which gave me real City of Death vibes when they were, like, in Paris. Except none of this, like, screams Amsterdam. It's just like, hey, here's some streets. They did film on location in Amsterdam, and they did do it because they're like, we want to do the same thing we did with City of Death, but in a different place, and we want to get a vacation. So let's go to Amsterdam.
Sure.
I mean, it looks fine, but it doesn't have that same feel that Paris does. And also, there's no real reason for it to be Amsterdam.
The serial is weird in that there are basically, for the longest time, three plot lines, which I don't think Doctor Who has ever done and has never done well up until this point. So you'll be like filming on location and you're like, that's nice. And then they'll just be like a single. And there are a lot. This is, I mean, we probably need to talk about the plot, but this serial is edited so poorly.
So poorly. There's a lot of 5 second shots of fucking nothing.
So you'll be on location and you'll be like, that's pretty. And then there'll be like a 5 second shot.
Just a dude crouching in front of a building. That's it. I believe Chris Cherry said when we were watching it, and now here's just 5 seconds of a guy taking a shit in front of a building, because that's what it looks like. But yeah, it's really poorly edited. It's just a lot. It's like they just took like 5 second chunks of like before a scene and after a scene and then just put them in randomly.
Yeah.
But okay, the actual episode, episode one, we start with, we see this.
Oh my God.
Well, we don't know it's Omega.
I mean, I knew.
You knew. You spoiled it for me. I would have figured it out because of the antimatter thing.
Spoiled it for you? It's the same guy.
He looks different. His mask is, he doesn't have facial features on his mask anymore, really. But we see this glowing guy. Well, this one mysterious Time Lord who we don't see. Punches some buttons and a glowing guy appears and they have a chat. I'm going to be honest. I had the hardest time paying attention. Like, we cut to this shot, this same shot of this figure in shadows wiggling a pen, talking to Omega, just exposition. It's visually boring, and the dialogue is boring, and that's where most of the plot is, and I had the hardest time following it.
That does not surprise me about you. You have a hard time paying attention to exposition, and then later you're like, wait, what? Why is this happening? And it's like, they literally just said why. You weren't paying attention.
I'm not. Because, I mean, also, again, the visuals of this are so boring. We cut back to this. It's the same shot.
I mean, I do like the design of Omega.
Well, some people don't. They think it's too Power Rangers, but I like it. I especially like
it. I mean,
it
I
like
Power Rangers.
It's sort of like very rounded. Everything looks kind of rubbery, which sounds bad when you're talking about, like, it looks like a rubber monster.
Right.
But I don't know. I enjoy the aesthetic of it.
It's slick.
Yeah. But you don't ever see the Time Lord because you can't reveal who the Time Lord is.
Which doesn't feel like that big of, like, twist when it's revealed. You're just like, oh.
Oh, that guy. Okay. I thought it was the Master for a while, but I was wrong. But then we meet two. I don't know if they're technically Time Lords. They're definitely Gallifreyans. Damon and Taylor. Taylor's going to die soon, so he doesn't matter. But this other guy, Damon, he has this like V shirt thing. You know what I'm talking about? Is he a Time Lord? He doesn't get the big. He's not a big fancy hat wearing dude. Like, is there a distinction between like the Time Lord and Gallifreyan?
I don't know. I've heard people talk about it like there is, that like Time Lord is like a class and that you can live on Gallifrey and just be Gallifreyan. But if you're like high class, like that's the people who are Time Lords. But I don't know, and I don't know how much of that is established, like, in the show, and how much of that is established in, like, books and Big Finish and stuff like that.
I don't know either. Because if I were to guess, I'd say this guy is a Gallifreyan, but not a Time Lord.
Because he doesn't get the fancy collar?
Yeah, and he's also doing sort of more menial work, I guess. They notice that something is downloading biodata from the Matrix, which this is what Mysterious Time Lord and Omega. Oh my god! I think that every time I hear Omega, that they are the ones downloading this biodata, which we will eventually learn is the Doctor's biodata. What the plot is Omega needs a person to imprint on to solidify himself in the real world.
Ew.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah. Just solidify was like a terrible word choice.
Well, what would you say?
I mean, no, that's pretty much it.
And again, like this serial is very choppy because the next we go to, like, these scenes happen very quickly and sort of staccato. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
The Doctor and Nyssa work on the TARDIS. They pull the little round little thing out and they're fiddling with stuff. We were watching with Melissa, if you remember Melissa from, she's been on the show before, Malice rewatches Doctor Who. She said it reminded her a lot of the cartoons when somebody would like take something off a wall or something and it's a slightly different color. And that's what that round looks like.
Animation cell. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like slightly darker than the rest of the circles. And then we meet Robin and Colin in Amsterdam.
I don't know if I can talk about these episodes in the order that they happen. You are ping-ponging around so quickly.
I know. I put some of those in the notes, and then I kind of like cleaned it up a little bit as I go on, because I wanted to start off to show you just how ping-pongy it is.
It's infuriating.
We meet Robin and Colin in Amsterdam. They're these two dudes just like cruising around Amsterdam. Robin has lost his passport and is worried about it, and he's like very nervous around the police. There's literally a line where he goes, "Oh no, the police." Robin is the worst character in this whole serial.
About with that exact same delivery.
He's so creepy. I was rewatching it to make the gifs, and every line he delivers or every look he gives, he just looks either dead inside or creepy. Like he's just staring into your soul.
Quit.
I don't like him. He just says that he has a bunch of creepy dialogue as well that I don't think was written to intentionally be creepy, but he creeps it the hell up. I mean, he takes this guy to a crypt.
Yeah.
For one. And he's like, I know of a place to stay the night. It's literally quiet as the grave. And then later when they go in there and the guy's freaking out because it's a
Are you talking
crypt.
About he's telling him to take his clothes off?
Yes. He's like, go on, take your clothes off. And he's like, we're in a crypt. I don't feel comfortable doing that with dead people around me. And he's like, oh, I'll just take off your clothes. It'll be okay. It's very creepy. Like, the way it's supposed to be is like he's just teasing him a little bit because he's like, the dude's scared and he's like teasing him. But it comes off very aggressive.
He's like, what the scene is. Where he's like sleeping in jeans.
And like his boots.
And he's like, yeah. And he's like, nobody sleeps in jeans. That's weird.
And meanwhile, just Robin over there is like just buck ass naked. But that stuff all happens later. It could have happened all in one scene. But
it could
not
have.
In this serial.
Back in the TARDIS, Nyssa's just listing plot holes that she doesn't like in Doctor Who. I don't remember what they are.
Well, I know the scene starts with they fix the thing that, like, I don't know, picks up sounds from around the TARDIS. But they're in space, so there is no sound. And she's like, so we're not picking up anything. And then he's like, pushes a button and the view screen closes. And he's like, now we don't have to see anything either. Peace and quiet. Just what the doctor ordered. And then she's like, well, we should be doing stuff because I'm bored. She's like, there's more stuff we need to fix is what she says.
Oh, temporal grace. That was one.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought you said the TARDIS was in a state of temporal grace and couldn't be shot at. It got shot at a lot. What gives?
Yeah, because the TARDIS console is sort of broken after the Cybermen shot it in Earthshock. And, like, she's also like, we never land where we're supposed to go. We should really fix that, you know. And in episode 5 of season 13, you said.
Yeah. I mean, which is another sort of, like, it's interesting to watch the show become more interested in the idea of continuity. Especially when, yeah, it's been running for 20 years. And so, like, you have a character be like, well, how come this and how come this and how come this? And you have the doctor just being like,
Timey wimey wibbly wobbly.
Yeah, but like we're acknowledging it, so
consider
it's fine.
That lampshade hung. Omega, because he has the Doctor's bio data, it lets him take over the TARDIS. And the Doctor tries to change courses and get away. And that's a scene.
That's one scene. Now you go back to the crypt.
Well, we already talked about the crypt, so let's move on.
That's one scene. Then you go back to the crypt to do the things that we were talking about, because that wasn't one scene. Then you go back to Gallifrey to have people talk about the bio data again, which is...
Well, they say that the only person who could have downloaded this stuff has to be a member of the High Council.
And then also, I think somebody gets shot. That's the scene, right? Somebody gets shot and he just goes, what is the line? What is the gun called?
It's like a plasma laser.
Like a plasma, yeah. And he's just like, a plasma laser?
I didn't get shot.
Which is like the equivalent of like just being like, gun? And those being your last words, because you're an idiot.
I like the way this scene is shot. It's like very horror movie, because we start
point
with
of view.
The shadow of the Time Lord goes up against the wall, and it's like, you know, it's that ridiculous Time Lord. What do you call that? Collar?
Collar? Yeah.
Sure. And then it cuts to his POV as he comes in and shoots.
Okay,
but
like that scene happens, and then we're literally back to the crypt, where I don't even know like what they're doing anymore.
Oh, that's when the creepy clothes comment happens.
Well, then what were they doing before that?
Just getting inside.
Just walking into it?
Yeah, and it was just like, oh, what is this? This is a crypt. There are dead people here. And he's like, ah, it's fine. You can sleep here. It'll be great. And he's like, oh, I don't like the neighbors.
Okay, so they get into the crypt like three scenes back. And in this scene, they're like getting ready for bed.
And that's it.
And
here we go.
Now it's back to the TARDIS.
Where this big glowing thing comes to the TARDIS and distorts the TARDIS. Like,
oh, that freaked
really
me out.
Cool. And then they start running and then they slow down in there in slow motion, the Doctor and Nyssa. And this light goes over the Doctor and we see Omega like merge with the Doctor. And he screams and Nyssa screams and then he passes out.
The one thing about 5, which is why I feel like he was probably my favorite when I watched him all the first time around, it's like 5 is very good at pretending to be in pain. And he does it a lot.
He is very good at it. He's also very good at conveying fear. He's good at conveying emotions. He's good at selling the danger.
He's vulnerable. And I like that about him.
Okay. I see why you like this Doctor so much. That's your trope. That's the thing you like.
It is the thing that I like.
What do the kids call it? Your kink?
No.
So back to the crypt. Some more tales from said crypt. Colin hears what we know is the sound of a TARDIS arriving, which is Omega's TARDIS, basically, has arrived in this crypt for some reason. Because the serial has to take place in Amsterdam.
And there's a bird in it.
Which is called an Urgon, which I don't know why it has a name. It's created by Omega. And I don't even, the Doctor name drops it later. He's like, oh, that was an Urgon. It's like, how the fuck do you know? How do you know that Omega created this thing?
Same imaginary friend.
But it looks like a giant fucked up chicken.
It's a big old bird.
A chicken from Power Rangers is what it looks like. I kept expecting it to go. Apparently the guy who wrote this, Johnny Byrne.
Had a thing for chickens?
No, he was like, I don't know why the fuck they made it a chicken. It was supposed to be like a hideous, like he was comparing it a lot to Frankenstein. So he's like, it's like one of his early creations that didn't work out right is what it should have looked like. And there's actually dialogue that says that at the end when the Doctor's like, it's an Urgon. He says it's like one of his early things that didn't work very well or whatever. Like, I mean, again, I don't know why how the Doctor knows that. But also it's just a big old chicken. But he shoots Colin, and Colin is the one who's not creepy. He looks like he's in an 80s music video, but he goes, flashes out of existence. But when he doesn't actually flash out of existence. He just flashes into the TARDIS. It's like a teleportion or something? It's a matter transference thing or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. I thought he died, but then he was in the next scene, and I was like, oh.
That's how they get you.
Back to the TARDIS. Nyssa wakes the Doctor up. And the Doctor's like, this creature did not bond with me. I resisted it or something. It didn't. The bonding process didn't complete.
Which Nyssa accepts right away. And I'd be like, sure it didn't. Tell me something only you would know.
You're a dick. That's an X-Men reference. But she also says the scanners said that the creature was made of antimatter. And that's when you were like, oh, it's Omega.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. You picked that up real quick. You picked it up 3 episodes before you were supposed to. Back at the crypt. This is how quick this just jumps back and forth. The Ergon shoots at Robin, who has woken up and misses. And he winds up shooting an angel statue, which I'm wondering, was it?
Was it?
Was it?
No.
Okay. And then we go to Gallifrey, and we get to meet the High Council. And we get to meet a character that we've met before, but now he's played by a different actor because he's regenerated. We meet Barusa, who is now the president of Gallifrey. Do you remember Barusa?
I don't. I knew he...
The only thing I can think of off the top of my head was he drank that from that crazy straw when he was just chilling out in the TARDIS on that Sontaran episode where everybody's just running around inside the TARDIS for like a whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Barusa was cool. He was in 2 serials before. I think he was in The Deadly Assassin, I think, and the one with the Sontarans that I'm blanking on the name of. But yeah, he's like a high up dude that's like kind of chummy with the Doctor.
He's a Time Lord, but chill.
He's like a slightly older looking dude. Not as old as the guy they got now. Like, he regenerated into a older guy, I feel like.
It happens sometimes.
But we meet the High Council, one of whom is played by, and his name's Hedden. He's played by Michael Gow. I think that's how you pronounce it. It might be Michael Goff. I'm not honestly sure. But he was the Celestial Toymaker back in the first Doctor era. But most commonly is known as Alfred the Butler in the first 4 Batman movies.
Never heard of him. What is a Batman?
It's a rich asshole who beats up criminals while dressed as a bat.
Nice.
We see that Bruce has this crown thing on his head and it flies off, and that's the Matrix. I didn't realize that until way later. That's another thing. The Matrix is heavily involved in this serial, but doesn't seem like the Matrix we've had before.
Doesn't that?
I mean, remember when the fourth Doctor went into the Matrix and he was running around? There was all sorts of crazy visuals. There was a clown. He was running around in a jungle. He got drowned in a lake.
Yeah, but and this one is just like black spidery web thing before. That's when Adric was in it.
Was that the Matrix? That wasn't the Matrix. That was not something the Master made. That wasn't the Gallifreyan Matrix, was it? Was it?
I don't know, but it looked the same, right?
Don't remember. I don't think that's the same thing.
But it looked the same.
When we see the Matrix, it's just a couple of like lines and they float semi-transparently inside a void.
I think, like, to me, that's what it is when it's like
just chilling.
Sleep mode.
When you're not actively digging into it.
The Matrix is like a hive mind of all this information. And if you're not accessing any of the information, it's like having a dream. And, like, you can be dreaming and dreaming all this weird, wild stuff. But if you're just, like, laying in bed waiting to fall asleep, it's just black.
With some lines.
That's how the Matrix works.
It seems visually boring compared to what we've done before. Anyway, they discuss the antimatter creature and what they need to do about it. It's a very long, boring scene. You remember when we went to Gallifrey that one time and there was all those, like, small chairs everywhere?
No. Oh, was that the time that Gallifrey looked like a Taco Bell?
No, that was the first time. This one is that they had like just these like small chairs that like, who the fuck's sitting in these tiny chairs in the hallway?
I don't remember this.
Well, now those chairs have upgraded to couches. There are couches everywhere now. They're just lounging about all the time. It reminded me a lot of Robots of Death. Like, just how just everybody's just, like, chilling out, having a drink. But that is another thing that the writer didn't like. He's like, I don't remember writing so many scenes of people just running in hallways. I don't think that was me. But it definitely happens a lot.
It sure does.
Anyway, back to the TARDIS. The Doctor says some stuff about the Arc of Infinity, which is where they are and where they picked up the thing. And it's like a gateway and something.
You weren't listening because it was exposition.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was like, ooh, Arc of Infinity. He said the name of the episode. Whatever the antimatter creature was trying to get out of the antimatter universe through this Arc of Infinity thing, right? Yep. Like it's a gateway between or something. And then back on Gallifrey.
We meet the Doctor.
Before he's the Doctor. Sure.
Maxell.
Played by just this nobody, really. Somebody we've actually met. We've met this guy before.
Oh, in real life. We did.
He was a very intimidating man.
I mean, super, super nice.
Super
but,
nice.
But intimidating.
But also, he's like bigger than I expected him to be. He's a tall dude. We're talking about Colin Baker.
Colin Baker's in this one. Man, he's got a sweet uniform, too.
He's got the, like, red... We've seen him before with the red things. Like, the guy that hooked up with Leela in the last Gallifrey serial, he had that red uniform, too. It's like the security uniform, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's got the addition of a helmet with a big fucking feather on it.
Nobody else I've ever seen has had a big purple feather. It's just this dude.
He's the head of security, so he gets that he rarely wears, by the way. He's always got it under his arm because I watched the making of. It's because whenever he wore it, he couldn't walk through doorways because he was too tall. Like, the feather would hit the door.
But, I mean, it's a feather, won't it just...
Yeah, but like he kept almost knocking his helmet off every single time. So they're like, just hold it under your arm. You can wear it in one scene and then take it off, and the rest of the time you just hold it under your arm. And Colin Baker thought it reminded him of a chicken, and he gave it a name. I forget what the name was, but it was like he named the chicken. And apparently all throughout rehearsal, he would just stand off to the side when it wasn't his lines, and he would just go really quietly. Apparently, he just kept trying to make people laugh the entire time that they were doing rehearsals and stuff. I got a slight vibe that Peter Davison may have been a little annoyed at him.
Really?
Yeah. And apparently, Jonathan Nathan Turner, Overdrive, his name is so hard to say, JNT, didn't entirely care for his performance. He said that he was too arch and that he needed to tone it down, pull it back some. So apparently Colin Baker was very surprised when they called him back to be the doctor. Anyway, yeah, he's in the serial. He honestly doesn't do a whole lot. I don't even think he's in the last episode.
Certainly not in this scene, because this scene's over already.
Yeah, he basically just says, well, the council made a decision to recall the TARDIS because of the antimatter creature thing. And they know it's attacked the doctor and they need to bring that in to contain the situation.
In the crypt, Colin is a zombie.
Yeah. He like walks and he puts this thing on the wall and he turns around and he's just all slack-jawed.
And Robin goes.
He just leaves. He leaves the crypt. He's like, screw my friend.
Yeah. Goes to stay in a hotel.
Yeah. He checks into a hostel. Which is not it's not a hotel. It's a hotel with an S in it.
All right.
Which, this hostel is so poorly ran.
Just the worst.
Just so bad.
Very lax on security. They will give your information out to anyone for no reason.
Also, the actress who plays the woman running the hostel is the worst actress I've ever seen. She
Which
says
is
everything.
Saying a lot because...
I mean, Robin's in this scene too.
Right.
I don't remember the line, but she just says everything so like blasé and casual. Oh, okay. I think that's literally a line she has is, oh, okay.
It's like the scene is like the guy being like, I think my friend has been murdered. And her being like, oh, okay.
I have a message for him. His cousin just came in. I don't know why I'm telling you this. This is not your information. She says that, like, is this guy checking in? He's like, he may never check in. You should talk to the cops about it if they give a shit. But worse acting somehow. This is just a scene of two people poorly acting in different ways. But meanwhile, the doctor lands on Gallifrey. Him and Nyssa, they try to open the door, but then the door opens. And he's like, I didn't do that. They must want me for some reason. They're worried also that they're going to try to kill the doctor. They say a lot of stuff.
Something's clearly trying to use the doctor. Like, the doctor has worked out that they needed his bio data. That's what they call it, right? They need that in order to, like, bond with him. And if something's using him to get out, the Time Lords will be like, it's just easier to kill him. Which they are.
Also, when they recall his TARDIS, like, there's a thing on the TARDIS console dash that, like, lights up. And he's like, it's the recall circuit that's never been used before. I'm also pretty sure I've never seen it before. I'm pretty sure they just threw that on there. It's like this big white bulb hexagon looking thing. And I was like, that's never been there before. Ever. Anyway, they run around some corridors because a guard pulls a gun on them and they're trying not to get shot. And then they bump into Maxwell and the doctor says, hello, I'm the doctor. And then Colin Baker shoots him because he's going to be the doctor now. But he does, just straight up shoots him. Doctor shoots the doctor.
And that's the end of episode one.
And we're now into episode two, which I've called Termination of a Time Lord.
This is what I mean. Look, we're ping-ponging around too fast. Episode one has been edited. all of them have been edited so poorly. You're still like at the point where they end up on Gallifrey, you're like, thank God, because at least two of these things have connected. So I'm not like on Gallifrey in the weird Omega thing and the TARDIS. And that's four, and on Earth. So we've gone down from...
We started at four, and now we're down to two.
Yeah, we started at four, and now we're down to two.
Maybe three.
I think three, yeah. Because, like, Omega's still doing weird Omega stuff.
We still have those boring-ass shots, which I don't even think I've, like, written down anymore, because they just do exposition.
Here's the good thing about episode two. At least we're on Gallifrey, and we get to look at all the dumb Gallifreyan shit. I love them so much, and their stupid outfits, and their just dumb aesthetic. Good job, Time Lords.
You just like their costumes?
I do. I like at the very
and
least
gray hallways.
At the very least, I'm getting to see some great Gallifreyan costumes.
The set design seems worse though.
Yeah, that is fair.
Like, remember like those big open rooms? Like the Deadly Assassin, where they had like the big congregation of people, and this seems a lot more setty and like small.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't think there's any like particular set piece where it's like, oh, we're on Gallifrey. It could have been any like spaceship in the future or different planet. Besides the costumes, which are always always great.
Well, they probably had those.
Right.
They just had those. Though, actually, I think one of the actors was saying they actually had to be sort of like measured out for it to fit perfectly, sort of thing, because like the way it went on their body. Also, apparently they could not move very well in it. They had to do that like Batman full-on shoulder turn, because they couldn't just turn their head because they had this big giant collar around their head. So the council's told that the doctor is here and that he's been shot and stuff, and Hedden establishes himself as the one that is sort of more sympathetic to the doctor and his plight, and he's all like, you know, maybe the doctor would have been cooperative if you just asked him instead of shooting at him. But this is all a misdirect.
Right.
Because, spoilers, Hedden's the mysterious, shadowy...
He's the bad guy.
...Time Lord who's been helping out Omega.
I mean, here's why that reveal doesn't matter. I don't give a shit who this guy is.
Yeah, they also play him up, like, because when the doctor sees him, he's like, oh, my good friend, Hedden. And you're like... Okay.
Sure.
Like, the doctor has more of a connection with Barusa, I feel like. We've met Barusa a couple of times before. Like, Barusa just feels like a random character. And, like, this Hedden guy is supposed to be the guy the doctor knows. And that feels weird to me. The characterization feels a little wobbly. They take the doctor back to the TARDIS so he can rest and recuperate. Maxwell takes out a circuit from his TARDIS so he can't get away. Nyssa gives the doctor a drink when he wakes up. It's like looks like orange juice. And I was very excited because there was a crazy straw around it. And I'm like, that's just Gallifreyan glassware, baby.
Gallifreyans all drink out of crazy straws. That's canon.
Everything they do has got to be a little over convoluted.
Right. It's got to be big. It's got to be theatrical.
And twirly.
Mm-hmm. Got to be a lot of loops.
Back on Earth.
The pace of this is just stupid.
Robin goes to the airport to pick up Colin's cousin. Colin's cousin loves Colin so much that she's never mentioned him on this show once before. But it's Tegan.
Yay!
She's got a cute-ass haircut.
Oh my gosh. She's got a cute-ass haircut. She's got a cute-ass outfit.
Yeah. Oh, Nyssa has a new haircut as well.
Does she?
It's like more floofy and stuff. It's done up a little bit differently.
All right.
They both got some makeovers and they both look really good. But Tegan's haircut.
Tegan, though, got fired from her job, which is very sad because it's been her sole motivation up until this point. But because of that, she's not wearing her uniform anymore. She gets a new outfit and it's super cute. It's like this white dress with like this blazer.
And her hair's a lot shorter. You know what it reminded
me of?
It's
a good look.
Do you remember that in the Second Doctor era when Polly in Macroterra got the haircut?
Yes, but just for that one episode.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. And I love that haircut on Polly.
It's a good haircut.
It's a very good haircut. And Tegan's haircut's very good as well. And I feel like her acting's gotten better, too, a little bit.
I want to say that her acting has got tremendously better. There's a part of me that wonders if I feel that way because she's acting opposite of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who sucks so much. You're just like, whoa, she's blowing everybody else away.
She does have a kind of terrible line here when they're like in a bar and he's filling her in about, you know, her missing cousin. She's like, tell me all about my cousin. How's he doing? Oh, yeah, I should have told you before we got all the way out of here. He's gone. But he tells her everything, and then she's like, I'll go to the police. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. It was just a really goofy delivery.
To be fair, it's a goofy line. How do you give that in a way that's not goofy?
At no point does she go, oh, no, my cousin. He's gone? She just gets like, well, we're on a case now.
I know how to do these things. I'm a companion.
I think she says this sounds like the sort of thing the doctor would get involved in. And he's like, who? And she's like, never mind.
My good friend who abandoned me, the doctor.
Meanwhile, the doctor is taken to the High Council, where he says there must be a traitor amongst the group. And they're like, maybe. But we think maybe the more important thing is that...
We just kill you.
Yeah, we kill you. To make sure that creature doesn't bond with you, we're going to have to kill you. Nyssa's like, hey, no. The doctor says that won't... If you kill me, that still won't save you from the traitor. That doesn't stop there being a traitor in the council. And Nyssa tries to plead for the doctor and doesn't really...
Anyway, that's the end of that scene. Now we're back at the crypt.
Well, actually, before they go to the crypt, they go to the police first, and the police are not helpful.
Right.
Because we know this. Why are you giving me that look? Am I not allowed to get political here on our podcast?
Anyway.
The police are like, we don't give a shit about just dudes hanging out in crypts. Go away. So they decide to go check out the crypt alone. Which, again, it's a scene.
That scene didn't need to happen.
No, it didn't. I mean, though there is sort of a theme of the police aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they have to take matters in their own hands. And, like, this High Council aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're just taking the easiest route not to deal with things.
Sure. And if it was written in a way where that felt like part of the theme of the episode, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Instead, it just feels like a waste of my time.
You're not wrong. But I'm just trying to see stuff here. Well, that's good. Again, this is not as bad as Time Flight. There's still some fun to be had.
At the very least, you get to see Gallifrey in collars. That sets the bar above the ground, which is where Time Flight was.
Time Flight was underneath the ground. It was so low. It was very bad. Damon is trying to get to the doctor to talk to him about the biodata thing. He gives it to Nyssa later, I think. I don't know. There's a whole thing. Damon's just trying to get and tell him about the biodata and say, yes, there is a traitor. But he can't get to him because Maxwell is a dick. That's Maxwell's sole characteristic, by the way. He's a dick. Not necessarily like a villain, just a dick.
Just like by the rules, by the book, and kind of enjoys his job a little too much.
Yeah, relevant. Because I think there even is a line where he's like, I'm just doing my job. And the doctor says, well, you don't have to relish it so much. Nyssa and Damon go to talk to Hedden to try to see if they can get him to get them into the... Like, it's all just, like, pointless barriers. He's like, yeah, I'm in good with Barusa and the Castellan and all that. Which, by the way, there's a new Castellan. He's less weaselly than the last Castellan. But he's like, I'll get you in to see the doctor. So they go in there, and they're like, let's go talk by ourselves. And Maxwell's like, you can't do that. And then he's like... Hadn't said we could talk in private because Maxwell had just slapped on this like listening device underneath the TARDIS console. He's very annoyed that they're walking away from it. But as they're walking away from it, the doctor's like, tell me how Leela's doing and whoever the fuck she, you know, stayed behind for. I don't remember his
name.
No
idea.
And he's like, I was really sad that I missed the wedding. I enjoyed hearing that. If I'm correct, I read somewhere that Leela was supposed to be in this episode and it didn't work out. And that some of the stuff that she was going to do got rewritten for Nyssa, which may be why she's more gun happy in this one.
Oh, because she is super gun happy in this one. That makes sense.
So they get on their own and they talk some stuff and Damon's like, here's the biodata proves that there's like, you know, only a High Council person can do this. There has to be a traitor. This is proof. And they're like, well, we'll figure out what to do. And he's like, the doctor asks Damon to fix the TARDIS for him because he's also like a tech guy. And then Maxwell comes in and like, hey, stop talking because he's a dick. Meanwhile, Robin and Tegan get to the crypt. Who gives a shit? Moving on. Like, literally, it's just a shot of them walking into the crypt, and then they maybe have a line or two, and then moves on to the next scene.
I remember, like, I think this is the episode where I was like, how long are they going to be completely separate from the rest of this plot? And it turns out...
the whole serial.
The whole thing. Yeah. For a long ass time.
Like, they don't all get together, Dr. Nyssa and Tegan, until episode 4.
There is a connection between that, obviously, and obviously there's going to be. But like, for a while there, I'm like, this is just a completely separate, like, B plot that has nothing to do with the main plot at all. Because it takes so long that it's just like, anyway, Omega, anyway, Gallifrey. And then it's like, oh, also, we're going to cut to Tegan for like 5 seconds.
And sometimes it's, we see a scene, then we cut to a shot of Hedden in the shadows, repeating the information from the previous scene
that we just saw, but like in a more boring format.
Yeah, because, I mean, Omega has to know stuff, but still, it's like so boring.
There's literally a scene where it's like he repeats word for word something that was just told to us.
I think part of the thing is like, the reason like Hedden's like on the doctor's side is because they can't kill the doctor, right?
Yeah.
Because they need the doctor for the transfer to go through.
Right.
So they're trying to stop the termination from happening, but they've got a plan in place. So the termination starts happening. They bring the doctor in to be terminated. This is the point where Nyssa shoots some guards, runs in, and holds up the council. And she's like, leave him the fuck alone or I will shoot you dead. It's pretty badass.
It is. And it's only slightly out of character for Nyssa.
Though in her first serial, she shot some dudes.
Didn't she?
Yeah. I was like, I think I like Nyssa. But the doctor's like, don't do that. I know you're just trying to protect me, but you shouldn't shoot these people. And talks her into putting the gun down. And he goes to walk to his death. He gets underneath a giant hair dryer.
Sure.
That blow dries him to death. And we see Omega briefly and then nothing. There's nothing. It's all gone. And the doctor is dead and Nyssa sheds a single tear. And that's it. That's the end of episode 2. We're now into episode 3, which I've called The Matrix Reloaded.
Oh, okay. So, is that based off of anything? Or?
Yeah, it's sort of based on this like obscure movie from, I want to say it's like early 2000s. It may have been late 90s. No, it was early 2000s. The Wachowskis directed it before they got real famous for Speed Racer. it's called The Matrix Revolutions, but I sort of tweaked it into Reloaded.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's a good title.
Thank you. So, the doctor's mind, not his body, they hide his body somehow behind like a shield, an antimatter shield or some shit. I don't remember. They've hidden his body, but his mind is inside the Matrix, which means he's just floating in this like...
floating in the spider web.
Slightly wobbling. Like, they put like a wavy effect on him.
Can you say wobbling again?
Wobbling. It's just like a little wavy effect going on in this like early 80s screensaver. And oh my god, they just cut to shots of him in it.
Throughout the whole thing for no reason. Again, for probably less than 5 seconds. In the middle of his, like, action will be happening.
And they'll cut to him and he's just like... and he'll just go...
Why was this edited this way?
I don't know.
This frustrates me on a completely different level than Time Flight, because Time Flight was just like, just stop giving me information. I don't know what to do with it. This is like, I think there's a good serial in here, and I don't even think like there's a lot of like writing stuff that needs to be fixed. I think if I desperately want to download this serial and sit down and re-edit it.
I think there are some writing problems. Okay, I think there actually isn't enough.
Writing?
Yeah, I feel like they had to pad the shit out of this one.
I just want to sit down and re-edit this so bad. I think there's an enjoyable serial in what was already shot.
Could you imagine if you got through all the horrible Robin stuff in like one scene?
But you
just
could have.
Get it out of the way.
You could have. Like, there's not a huge amount of things that happen. And the fact that it's like parceled out tiny scene by tiny scene, it's like, why?
I would like to see an edit of this where you just put all those scenes right in a row. And you could probably also cut some of those out, to be honest. But I would like to just see them all laid out in a row, see how they flow. As it is, it's just so choppy. But Damon has fixed the TARDIS, and Nyssa comes in. He's like, I fixed the TARDIS. And she's like, basically, like, it's crying, like, it's too late because the doctor is dead. Maxwell and the Castellan think that there was something up with the termination. They're like, that Something felt off.
The thing is, like, they don't know because they've never done it before, right?
I think they've done it once before. They said something like this. It's only been done one other time.
So, like, it hasn't been done in, like, 1,000 years.
I could be wrong, but I think they were hinting that it was Omega.
Ha, gotcha.
Possibly. I don't know. But they did. That Max goes and looks into it and finds out that, yes, the process, the termination process, was cut short. So he wasn't. He's
Does
not
he
dead.
Know that the doctor's in the Matrix? Or just he doesn't know where he is?
Doesn't know where he is. He thinks that, like, I think he thinks that Damon and Nyssa have conspired to leave with the doctor. But they also find out the truth about the bioscan. Because they go and they're using, like, Damon's equipment to, like, look at this stuff. And they're like, also, this stuff is here. And, yeah, they were telling the truth. There is a traitor, but they think that it, whoever the traitor is, was probably in cahoots with the doctor.
Not cahoots.
Tegan and Robin are in the crypt. They see Colin moving stuff all zombie-like. The doctor moans in the Matrix. This happens a lot. Damon and Nyssa are taken to the Castellan, who says, like, I think you're in a cahoots with the doctor. And they're like, the doctor's
not
dead.
Cahoots.
He's like, you know he's not dead. But this is when, like, they find out that the doctor's not dead, and Nyssa is very pleased. Tegan is an idiot. They're hiding out in this crypt, and they see, you know, Colin being a zombie. They see the, I don't know, he's walking around and the bird guy or whatever, and Tegan just runs out like, hey, stop! Like, Robin's like, hey, don't do that! But she gets shot, and Robin gets shot because she just jumped out and said, hey, shoot me!
Hey, do you think Tegan is, like, drunk on the power of being, like,
unemployed?
A companion, where she's like, I'm probably the person most equipped to deal with this right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I've done it the most before. These are just regular earthlings, and they know nothing. They haven't traveled like I've traveled. I'll just do what the doctor does.
I don't think the doctor would just go, hey, you, and then get shot. Well, he literally did that for the cliffhanger of the first episode. They get shot by the Ergon and teleported onto the TARDIS, the Omega's TARDIS, and they meet Omega, and he's just like, very, do what I say and stuff. I don't know, he's very ominous. I don't even remember what the shit he says. Also, I want to say,
I'm Omega.
He is not played the same way.
No, I miss Angsty Pants Omega.
Like, very dramatic, over the top Omega. This Omega is mostly just down here.
He's just kind of run-of-the-mill evil.
Run-of-the-mill evil. Whereas Omega was like, why is my life a travesty? He scans Tegan. The bird creature goes up and just touches her head. And then she glows. And he's like, you know, the doctor. Yeah, he bops her on the head. But because of that, he knows that she knows the doctor. And he's like, cool.
Convenient.
Yeah. I knew I came to Amsterdam for a reason.
Why did he come to Amsterdam?
Because the producer said, we need a script written in Amsterdam. Because we want to go get some weed and hookers. I'm pretty sure that's what the missive was.
But, like, there's a thing there. There's some technology. Is that the Ark?
There was something
thing
about being underwater.
There's a thing connected to the wall in the crypt.
That's the fusion booster, but it's from Gallifrey.
So why is it in it? Like, what's it doing in Amsterdam?
I think it's where they put it. It has to be in a certain place. Like, I think they say something about it being underwater because they're in that crypt underneath a lake. Then there's also a couple of lines about, like, what's that sound? And he's like, oh, that's the pipes with the water.
Because, like, Omega's not even in this dimension yet. He's just a negative floaty thing. Why is he in Amsterdam at all?
Again, it's to put the fusion booster thing.
What is the okay, but what does that do?
If I'm remembering correctly, it's the thing that causes his bonding to work.
But why is it on Earth?
Because it needs to be underwater. I don't know.
Do they not have water on Gallifrey?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be in Amsterdam, except that we need to be in Amsterdam and get Tegan back. I don't know.
Okay. I'm sure someone will tell us.
Yeah. Listeners at home, tell us how stupid we are.
They will.
The mysterious Time Lord Hedon tells Omega to free the doctor, but Omega chats a bit with the doctor first in this thing and says, don't fuck with me or I will fuck with your companion, and shows that he has Tegan. And Tegan's also there in the wobbly Matrix. But then he does free the Doctor. I think they do a little bit of a trade so that Colin is freed from his zombie state. I don't know. For some reason, Omega's like, I don't need this zombie anymore. So Colin passes out in the TARDIS room with, and he's reunited with Tegan and Robin. I don't give a shit. I don't care about Robin or Colin, but hey, he's fine, I guess. So the Doctor is like trying to get back to find Nyssa and Damon, and he comes across a door and he's like, oh fuck, there's a, like a keypad next to it. And he's like, they probably changed the presidential code, right? I don't know, I'll try it. And he punches in a code. And it works. He still knows the presidential code from that very small period of time where he was the president. I think he frees Nyssa and Damon because they're like being held. And they're like, how did you get through the door? And he's like, pure luck. But it's because he was the president. The council thinks that Barusa is the traitor, maybe.
Like all of the evidence is supposed to point towards Barusa. Like something, there was something specific where like, ah, that's it. It would have to be him because like he was framed. I think it was like to access the bio data, you need like a certain code, and his code was the one that was used or something like that.
Yeah. And also I think maybe something to do with the Matrix. I think only the president has access to the
Matrix. Yes.
I don't remember. But meanwhile, the Doctor has sussed out that Omega must be on Earth because he saw Tegan, and Omega has Tegan. Tegan's only on Earth. Presumably. And then I think
he could have gotten Tegan and left, though. But he didn't.
But then we find out that Hedden is the traitor. He turns out of the shadows, gets a gun, and we're like, oh shit, it was Hedden all along, but he was so nice.
The Time Lord I only kind of knew?
The one background Time Lord that I did know because he was the Celestial Toy Maker. The Doctor also asked Damon to get information about the stuff and also found out that there was a fusion booster that was delivered to Earth or something. I don't remember. I don't know. There was some other thing, like some other connection to Omega. The Omega got the fusion booster from Gallifrey, and they tie that in with Hedden or whatever. I don't know. There's a lot of information going on, and I've stopped caring.
It was
to be
delivered
honest.
Through just straight exposition, so Joe was not paying attention.
Do you know?
Well, no, but that's just because I don't remember it.
So there's some shootouts and stuff as people are going through hallways. Hedden pulls a gun on Barusa and says, oh, by the way, I'm the bad guy. We have to bring Omega back. Well, he doesn't say Omega, but we're about to get to that reveal. Then the Doctor comes in, and then Hedden pulls a gun on the Doctor and tells him to get over there with Barusa, and that they framed Barusa. Omega is almost here. And then this is when Hedden says, yeah, it's Omega. Where I'm bringing back the original, the OG Time Lord, who, you know, did all this great stuff for us. He doesn't deserve to be trapped in this antimatter world. We're bringing him back. And the Doctor's like, you can't do that. He went crazy there. He's not a nice guy.
He's a big old meanie.
Then the Castellan busts through the doors and is like, good job, Hedden. You've caught Barusa and you've got the Doctor as well. Well, this time I'm going to make sure that you can't get away from your termination. And he goes to shoot the Doctor. For some reason, Hedden jumps in front of him.
Because the Doctor can't die yet.
Doctor can't die and he has to bond. Right. He jumps in front of the Doctor and Hedden gets shot and dies. Oh, well. But then Omega has control of the Matrix now. Did he not already have control of the Matrix?
Yeah, I did think he did. Yeah, I don't know.
Did he get more of a control of the Matrix? Was he just in, like, connected to the Matrix? Now he can. Now he can control it. Now he has all of the information. He has access to all the shit. The power he needs to finish his transformation. Sure.
Yes.
Let's say that. That is the cliffhanger. That is the end of episode 3. And we're now into episode 4, which I have called Hostile Forces. Hostile, like... Mm-hmm. Like a hostile force, but like this, like the hostile. In this episode, they're going to be in the search for a hostile. It's a play on words.
Okay.
Omega's like, ah, ha, ha, I'm in control. And they're like, where's Hedden? He's like, where's Hedden? And then like Hedden died. And he's like, brr! He literally just goes, brr! And like punches his own hand.
That's the Omega I know and love.
Yeah. He's back, baby. Very briefly. So the Doctor puts the crown on to enter the Matrix to try to talk to Omega. And we go back to Floatyville. Tegan's there. And Tegan just starts going like, Amsterdam, JC. She just gets very daring. Also, it was probably pretty stupid of Omega to be like, here's your companion. I'm going to threaten her again. And then she just starts yelling stuff out like clues. But the council is going to help. This finally realize the doctor's not bad. And they're going to help the doctor track. They're going to like have to track down where Omega is. And they're going to help the doctor stay off of Omega's radar. They're going to block his like signal or whatever so that he can leave undetected. Oh, there's this really great scene where the doctor says like he saw Tegan and they're going to go to Amsterdam or whatever. He's saying this to Nyssa and Nyssa seems sort of upset or whatever. And then he's like, but Tegan's fine. Tegan's okay. And like Nyssa just like brightens up. Like, oh yeah.
Her girlfriend's okay.
So they arrive in Amsterdam and the doctor's like, she said JHC, we gotta figure out what that is. And she's like, what are we gonna do? That can mean anything. He's like, let's look in the phone book. Oh, it's a hostel. And he's like, there's only a handful of hostels here. We'll just call them up and figure out where it is. And then
he doesn't have any money. And he asks Nyssa for money. And this is like, why would I have Earth money?
We've been to the Earth a couple of times, but only once in present day.
So instead of being able to just call a whole bunch of them, they have to go walk.
Well, first they check his pocket for coins.
That's my favorite gag. Every time, I love it.
But he's got a cricket ball. He's got his weird ass fucking rolled up hat. And I think a bunch of paper clips. But yeah, they're going to go look for the hostel on foot. They're just going to go. This is when it starts to get heavily padded. There's just a lot of like walking around and like, there's like a little sense of urgency, but not enough sense of urgency because at this point, Omega starts to do the transfer and he's just like, and gets incredibly gooey.
I don't understand why this
era.
Yeah, I was going to say season and then had to stop. This era of Doctor Who is so gooey.
It's been very gooey for no reason. The master booger capsules, no reason. The Terralyptal bubbling up. Well, there was another one I can't even remember. It's just been a lot of goo.
It's just been gooey.
It's just like his head's like caving in and just brown goop is dripping off of it.
And that's what's supposed to happen. Imagine if it had gone wrong.
It would have been greener. Maybe a little chunkier.
Oh,
what did I do? So the doctor and Nyssa get to that hostel that is poorly ran. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you all the information you need. Why not? There's literally a line where she's like, I don't think I should tell you this.
I'm not supposed to tell you this.
And he's like, please. And she's like,
okay.
It just gives him the information that they've been asking for. Was it about the crypt or something?
It's not a message. What is it?
I think it was they were asking about the crypt or something. I don't remember. She gives them some vital clue. I think it is where the crypt is.
How would she know where the crypt is?
Maybe they came back to the hostel before they went to the police. So, you know, they probably did go to the hostel to drop their stuff off. Because, like, Tegan probably has luggage and stuff. So they went to the hostel, dropped the stuff off, and said, if we get any messages, we're hanging out at a crypt.
But then they would have permission to tell them that.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'm pretty sure they get information about the crypt here because they go to the crypt. That's the next thing they do. They're running to the crypt and they knock over a lady with her groceries.
Rude.
And then like, Dr. like, sorry, he tries to run away. And like, Nyssa is like trying to put the stuff back in the bag. And he's like, come on, we're sorry. And like, they knock the bag over even more when they leave. But they get to the crypt, they see the fusion booster, the Ergon tries to shoot them, and they get into a fight. Nyssa shoots the Ergon, and it disappears. They go inside the TARDIS, the doctor pulls a gun on Omega, who's just full-on melty gooey, and they're like, he's like, I'm gonna shoot you, Omega, and he's like, eh? And the door opens up, and there's Tegan under his control. He's like, standoff. It's a standoff. We got a standoff. You can't shoot me, because I'll kill your Tegan. But the doctor had rigged the fusion booster to explode, and it does explode. Everything starts exploding. They all fall down. The whole place kind of crashes down a bit. But Omega gets up, and he's like, it's too late. And he takes off his helmet, which is all caved in and stuff, and he rips it off, and he's Peter Davison.
And then he just has a nice day.
Which I thought was really cool. Like, he talks, and it's basically Peter Davison lip-syncing to the other actor's dialogue.
Yeah, I don't know why, but they managed to really sell that.
I saw how they did it in the making of, like, they filmed it with the original actor, and he said the lines, and then they refilmed it and played back his lines. And, like, they showed how they did the split screening and stuff. They had to, like, line the camera up, right? Like, they didn't do it in post. They filmed it, like, the split screen's done, like, kind of in camera.
Oh, like, on a switcher. So yeah. They played it back in one of the video things and then put, like, a, you know, like, a transition, put it halfway through, like, a wipe.
They did a similar thing for the glowy Omega when he's talking to Hedden. It was also, like, they just lined the shot up and had it there.
Crazy.
It's two shots smushed together. But he's the doctor now, and he leaves while the doctor looks around for the gun that the Ergon had, which is like a matter thingy. That's the only way. The matter gun.
A matter thingy?
Yeah. It's the only way to get rid of Omega. He's like, Tegan, help me. And she runs out of the other room and goes, I must help Colin. And then runs back into the room.
There was no reason for her to run all the way in there, be like, can't, doing something, and then run back. Surely that took more time than anything else.
So Omega sees a gardener, kills him, takes his clothes, and just heads out, which is just like a black sweater looking thing.
It's like a black turtleneck. Like, he's kind of like Steve Jobs looking.
And the doctor, Nyssa, and Tegan run out and they find the dead body. They're very like, they don't super care about this dead guy. They're like, well, at least we know what he looks like. We have an idea of what he might be wearing now. And then they go looking for him. And then the best scene happens. And I wish the serial had been more of this than whatever the fuck's been going on for the past three episodes.
You like this scene?
I love this scene. This is so great. This is what the whole serial should have been about. Because Omega wanders around and he hears some music and it's like...
It's like a carnival and there's like a puppet show. I see that and I'm like, oh yes, 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 yes. They're gonna do like a fun house, House of Mirrors.
Well, it wasn't a carnival though. It was just the show. It was just a small little
caravan. I thought it was like a carnival. I thought there were gonna be mirrors and two different people looking the same. And then we didn't get that, and I was sad.
That'd have been fun.
That's a good idea.
But what does happen is also really good, which is that he goes and watches the show, and he enjoys it. Like, this is the first thing he's gotten to do in, like, ages. This kid rushes past him. He's, like, looking at the kid, and the kid looks back at him, and he smiles. And they smile at each other. It's a little creepy.
It's definitely creepy.
It's definitely creepy. But also, it's just like, he's like, oh, shit, I can, like, enjoy things. And then it just like, it's him just smiling as he's walking down and he like leans against like a little fence and he's like looking out over the river and he's just enjoying life, which he's never got to do before.
Well, he got to do it before. He hasn't gotten to do it in a long time.
That's what this should have been. Maybe even like, he's like, I don't even have to be bad. I just want to be present, you know? I want to do things.
Be in the world.
Yeah. And I was like, this is good. I like this. I wish it hadn't taken four episodes to get here. I wish we'd have explored this more. Like, imagine chasing down this guy who looks like the doctor, but he's not necessarily being evil. He's just like... It could be that, you know, whatever he's doing is going to fuck shit up, which it is. I think that's part of it. It's like, it's going to fuck shit up.
A solid tract.
If he continues, it's going to mess up reality. But like, he just wants to experience things. But sadly, from this, that was just a very small scene and the rest of it's...
Just them chasing him.
God, it literally like happens three for minutes. 9 minutes.
Oh my God.
It's like 9 minutes.
Is it nine?
It's 9 minutes. I think from the point where he gets the gardener's outfit, it's 9 minutes. I think from like the point where he looks down at his hands and he notices that
he's melting,
they're going green and moldy. From then on, it's like 6 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Of just running around the streets of Amsterdam.
Look, just because you shot on location doesn't mean that it's good footage. We don't need all of it.
He gets more and more decayed, I guess, but... It lasts forever. Though there is one great scene where they hear like a scream and they run over and like Omega has clearly like knocked this guy over. He's just like sitting on the ground like, what the what? And they run up and the doctor's like, oh, he'll be all right. And runs off and then Nyssa and Tegan go up and like.
Yeah, they still go to help. And the doctor comes back and he's like, I said they're all right. Let's go.
And then more chasing happens. There's a dog at some point. It's very boring. They chase him down to a pier. They've switched back to the actor who originally played Omega, but just in makeup and a Peter Davison wig. And he has some lines about, like, I don't know why you guys hate me. Like, we don't hate you. And the doctor says, like, why couldn't you just, you know, exist?
Be content.
Be content in that existence, which I think is kind of a dick thing to say.
Yeah, that's harsh. Why can't you just be contented to be trapped in a completely isolated dimension for your whole life without ever dying?
Like, that seems callous and bad.
Yeah.
But then, like, Omega's like, to go back to that would be worse than death. And if I can't have it, no one can. I'm going to destroy the... If I can't live, I'm going to kill everyone. That's maybe a little bit of a overreaction.
Yeah, that's probably not the nicest.
So he tries to will himself to destruction. If he does that, it's going to destroy the world.
He's like going back into like antimatter form, and antimatter and matter can't touch because they annihilate each other.
So the doctor has to shoot him. So the doctor shoots him and he sparks and disappears.
But he never would though.
Like this scene was good, I think, kind of. Like I think it maybe could have used a little bit of a punch up. But, like, I like the idea of it. It's, like, sort of the post, everything's fine now. Colin went to the doctor, but he's going to be fine. I don't give a shit about Colin, Tegan. Who knows what happened to Robin? They never said. Nissa's like, do you think Omega's dead, really dead? And he's like, who knows? Maybe we'll bring it back for another serial at some point, though I don't think they do. Tegan and Nissa are talking, and Nissa's like, it's a real bummer that you have to go back to your job. And Tegan says, actually, I got the sack. And Nissa just cheers.
Nissa's so happy.
Which is, one, adorable, but also weird following up. I got the sack.
Just got fired. Yes. Girlfriend's back.
And Tegan says, she turns it over and she says, so I guess you're stuck with me now, right? And he's like, seems like it. And then just frowns.
There's no enthusiasm. It's not sweet at all. He's just like, guess so.
I got rid of two of you. Damn it. Like, that's not even joking. That's 100% what's happening in that scene.
Yeah, I think he left her on purpose.
I think this doctor might be kind of a dick. Maybe a little bit of a dick.
He's kind of a dick, but, like, his reputation is, like, being a soft boy.
Yeah, but... But that's it. That's the end of Arc of Infinity, which it ends with the doctor like, ugh, Tegan. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for some final thoughts.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the comedy stylings of Hugh for the Borg Collection.
When I was part of the Borg Collective, my Borg wife was so fat. When she sat around the collective,
The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
It is time for final thoughts.
Oh, you're not going to do your bit anymore.
We've been, I think, recording this podcast for over 2 hours.
Hour and a half.
Well, we've been working on it for over 2 hours. Half an hour we spent getting everything set up.
Final thoughts.
I like this serial, but not because it's good. We a lot of the times get people who, like, you know, we announce which one we're on and in case they want to watch with us and stuff like that. Usually we have, like, people who respond will be like, oh, fantastic, or oh, no, I'm sorry, which gives you kind of like an expectation.
They were right about Time Flight.
Yes, everyone was correct about Time Flight. And everyone was correct about this one, too. It's a slog. Like, it just is. But one, it's coming right after Time Flight, so you're like, at least it's comprehensible 90% of the time, which makes it so much better. Two, it's set on Gallifrey. I think that's one of the things that somebody specifically said to me, was that, like, this is going to test your enjoyment of stories set on Gallifrey. And here's the thing, it doesn't have to be good, because at the very least, you get to just bask in the Time Lord aesthetic. At the very, very least, you get that. And that's great. Like, the most recent finale. At the very, very least, you had Time Lord Cybermen. And whatever other dumb shit happened in that episode, fine. We got Time Lord Cybermen. And it's just the correct amount of stupid that I enjoy so much. I am frustrated with this one in a different way than Time Flight, because I think there's a good serial in here somewhere. Maybe not, like, the best, but like a solid serial, and it just needs to be re-edited. Maybe rewritten a little bit, but like so much of the weakness of this one is in the like weird ping pong pacing that they decided to do. And it's so unnecessary. But there's, you know, it's another one where it's like, I see all the good ideas. And they didn't come together, right? And that can be a lot more frustrating than like a serial where there are no good ideas. You're like, I don't know what they were trying to do. This is like, yeah, they're, you know, I see what they were trying to do, and they didn't. Because, yeah, there's interesting stuff about Omega, but Omega doesn't actually get to be interesting. Like, Omega, it doesn't feel like a character in this at all. And that, I think that's a problem with the Time Lords as well. Like, you have this, like, oh, this Time Lord that's the Doctor's friend betrayed him. But they don't feel like friends ever. Like, besides the Doctor telling you. Like, there could have just been, like, a small scene where they had, like, a cute little moment between the two of them. And you were like, oh, wow. They clearly have been friends for a long time. But instead, it's just like the Doctor's like, hey, I know you. And honestly, he's like, yes, you do.
I mean, this would probably be a little too much of a portrayal of Barusa, but they did it with the fucking Yates. I mean, just have it be Barusa. At least that's a character we are more familiar with.
I can't say that would have worked for me because I'd have been like, who's Barusa again? I think you're still better off like earning it in the episode. And that's the thing. Like a lot of all the characters are flat. I don't give a shit about Tegan's cousin. I don't give a shit about any of the Time Lords because they all are just, they don't feel like people. They feel like chess pieces. Move this plot along. It's very dry. Yeah, which is frustrating. I do think its biggest problem is the weird editing. I'd like to see like a re-edited version just to see how much like life that brings to it and how much is just like writing, you know?
I mean, the editing may have been an attempt to spice it up.
That's pretty much it. Those are my final thoughts.
I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was great or anything. I mostly thought it was just kind of, there was so much exposition, just sort of badly laid out things. Like, it's poorly structured.
Yes. Structure's a huge problem.
Yeah. I mean, not just the editing, but like anything, even from like a writing standpoint, like, I feel like a lot of the stuff that it was doing could have been done in one episode. I think you should have gotten them together faster.
Right.
Like, it sucks that they don't get together in the fourth episode and all they do is chase a dude down for 6 minutes. I don't know. I think there is a good story here. I just think it needed to be rewritten. Like I said, I think it would have been more interesting. I don't know how many villains we've had. It's not just a problem with this serial. Like Pyramids of Mars, I think, had a similar issue where you just have the bad guy sitting around for 4 episodes. He can't do anything. He just sits there.
Right.
That's boring.
Let them be active.
Yeah. So I wish we had done the whole plot in episode 1, then reveal like, oh shit, Omega's here and he's going to be real and now he's the Doctor. And then the rest of that be him running around as the Doctor causing chaos. We didn't even get like any sort of like, is this the Doctor or is this Omega? You know, they could have played with that like they did with Enemy of the World. Like, I feel like that's the interesting story, is what if Omega did get to come
but
to
also
the real world.
That idea of like, this thing that this person wants isn't necessarily bad, but they can't have it without being destructive.
There's like some inherent
tragedy there. Which
again,
just really makes
there.
Me think of the Solitract.
Like, yeah, that's what you do with this story. That one scene with the show was like head and shoulders above the rest of the serial. I mean, there's no dialogue, so there's like some of the dialogue in this is very clumsy. I wouldn't say it's bad. It's not like all the fucking techno babble from Time Flight, but it is sort of basic.
It feels kind of placeholder.
Yeah.
Like, I need this character to say this.
So that scene with Omega catching a show, I mean, there's no dialogue, so it's all just conveyed through acting. I feel like it's stronger because of it, because it's not held back by a slightly lackluster script. So I wish the rest of the serial could have lived up to the potential of that one scene. That scene to me, like, I'm going to think about that scene for a while just because of how, like, effective it was. Because it was the only thing that made me go, that's really interesting.
Kind of messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's fine or bad. It's fine or bad. It's never good.
Yeah, That's fair.
I'm glad that like everybody's back together, and I'm looking forward to seeing where we go now that we've got the band back together, kind of. Which, I mean, I imagine was different for people who are watching this live. They've been waiting a year for it, like, whereas we saw them together, like, last week.
Right.
Yeah, the next one's going to be Snake Dance, so which is a sequel to Kenda, so I'm excited about that.
I was going to say, Snake Dance is like an title that I've heard before.
Well, I mean, it's a sequel to Kenda, which had a giant snake in it, so...
Are we going to get another good look at the snake puppet?
I hope so.
Me too.
Before we go, is there anything we need to plug? By Road Trippy. Thank you. Road Trippy by J. Bartholomew Hivemond, spelled Hive Mind, pronounced Hivemond. It's on Amazon.
Please watch The Unseen World. You can watch it on the Heartland Network channel on the Roku, or you could watch it at
watchheartlandtv.com.
Watchheartlandtv.com. You can watch it on demand there and a bunch of other places too. I think we're finally on Apple TV. And
or if you have TV and you have the Heartland Network.
Yeah, if you get the Heartland Network, you can watch it over the air, I think on Tuesdays and another day. I don't remember when it re-airs. I'm still working really hard on season two. I've kind of hit a little bit of, had to stop production because of COVID stuff, but there's still going to be new episodes out soon, hopefully within the next couple months. I don't think I have anything else. We got an article?
Oh yeah, there's an article. We were written up in Chattanooga Pulse.
Which I think was, I didn't read it.
Yeah, it's a good article.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I think I shared it on our socials.
Also, if you're like, listening from that. Hey.
Thanks. I did notice an uptick on our numbers a little bit. So nice. If you are listening because of the pulse, hey, thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome. Enjoy.
Do you like our new mics?
We did this just for you.
We've always sounded like this. But if you liked this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on watchyourassalon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes as well. It does iTunes magic.
Everybody knows how that works.
It helps us out. If you'd like to help us out even more, go to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can also get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, and live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. Also bonus episodes, all sorts of cool stuff. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us or Blu-ray. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check out more of his stuff at matthewgolden.net. I also want to give a special shout out to Vince Neal for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their music at soundcloud.com/VinceNEL or VinceNEL.soundcloud.com. I don't remember how it works.
Write it down.
I know. I meant to put it in my notes and I forgot to. I'll do it next time.
All right.
But tune in next time when we talk about Snake Dance with returning guest Vincent E.L.
Oh, nice. And they did our theme song. I don't know if you knew that.
And Adam Clegg will also be there from Harry Sullivan. Might be an imbecile. No, it's Harry Sullivan is an imbecile. I shouldn't make a joke and say the name of the podcast wrong. It's Harry Sullivan is an imbecile.
He definitely is.
So until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Bye.
I'm now a policeman.
Impulse laser.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.